Texas. This is the Chris Cross Show on News Talk 820 AM, 99.5 FM, HD2, WBAP.
Yes, it is, and I'm having a blast filling in for Chris. Adam McManus here. If you would like to join the conversation on 820 WBAP, dial me up at 1-800-288-9227, 800-288-9227. Well, this week, anchors and reporters practically fell over themselves laughing at Barack Obama's Funny or Die collaboration. Did you happen to see it? 6 minutes in length, hailed as the Obamacare promotional video that would seduce the young people, the millennials, to finally get up the gumption to go on to the healthcare.gov website, sign up, because after all, without the young people who are healthy, the whole Obamacare system will crater in on itself, not that it already hasn't started, but they are dramatically under their goal. And we'll talk about some of that, about how far they are short of their goal and how reluctant the television networks were to reveal how far short they had fallen of their various enrollment goals. But first, here's a selection that Chris grabbed from the Funny or Die conversation that Barack Obama had in order to entice the millennials to sign up for Obamacare.
So do you go to any websites that are .coms or .nets, or do you mainly just stick with .govs?
No, actually, we go to .govs. Have you heard of healthcare.gov?
Here we go. Okay, let's get this out of the way. What did you come here to plug?
Well, first of all, I think it's fair to say that I wouldn't be with you here today if I didn't have something to plug. Have you heard of the Affordable Care Act?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. That's the thing that doesn't work. Why would you get the guy that created the Zune to make your website?
So the idea is to get as many young eyeballs on this video in order to get people to sign up at that age category. Now, the big three, ABC, NBC, CBS, the big three networks devoted a total of 16 and a half minutes to the fake interview. But the reason that he had to do the interview was virtually ignored. The reason he had to do the interview is because of these terrible Obamacare enrollment numbers, particularly among millennials. Listen to this. The actual stats on how bad the enrollment numbers compared to the 16 and a half minutes just talking about Funny or Die. You got to look at Barack Obama on this. It's so funny. Which, by the way, wasn't that funny. A measly 10 seconds. A measly 10 seconds. Now, CBS, the evening host, Mr. Pelley, Scott Pelley, said in his introduction to a March 11th segment on Obama's Funny or Die video, quote, "The White House told us today about four and a quarter million Americans have signed up for Obamacare. Four and a quarter. The administration had hoped to have more than 5.5 million by now." So that was part of the 10 seconds right there. Actually, I think that's probably all of 10 seconds. Here are the stats. Brace yourself. It's not good. On March 11th, the Department of Health and Human Services reported that about 940,000 people signed up for Obamacare in February, which brought the total enrollment figure to 4.2 million, far short of the 7 million goal which Kathleen Sebelius had set by the end of March. That bit of bad news was touched on by Scott Pelley, but it was counteracted by all these cheerleaders. CBS led all the networks in the amount of time devoted to the video at 8 minutes and 36 seconds. You had co-host of CBS This Morning, Nora O'Donnell, observing that it was interesting to hear some of the president's top advisors saying they'd chosen to do this, the Funny or Die video, the fake interview, because they're trying to sign up younger people for health care coverage. And then co-host Gayle King, Oprah's best friend, who has been hired to give the kind of a fluffy feel-good, warm, fuzzy feel on CBS, just what you want on a big news show, right? Gail King says, all right, mission accomplished. And after a Bill Plant segment about the video, the Funny or Die video, on the March 12th CBS This Morning, one reporter effused, Gail King, bravo to Zach and bravo to the president, referring to the comedian from Hangover fame. Later in the show, Gail King even personally congratulated senior White House advisor Valerie Jarrett. Valerie, let's go to Funny or Die. It's certainly gone viral, which I think you guys are doing the hula over there. Yeah, well, it's perhaps the only bright spot at the Obama White House right now is the Funny or Die video. I mean, is this not beneath the dignity of the commander-in-chief? I don't care what party you're from. This is just beneath the office of the presidency. It's one thing. I don't know. There was a time when the president of the United States didn't even go on these late night shows, much less this kind of venue. NBC came in second in terms of touting the Funny or Die video to try to get millennials to sign up for Obamacare. See, they've become the cheerleaders of Obama. Give me an O. Oh, give me a B, B, give me an A, give me an M, M, give me another A, what does it spell? Obama, Obama, we love him, we're his lapdogs. I mean, this is what the media has become, the Obama cheerleaders. NBC coming in second, devoting a total of 4 minutes, 28 seconds to Obama's mock interview with the Hangover star. On March 11th, the Today Show character, Al Roker, praised the president's comedy chops. Social media host Carson Daly gushed over it, saying it's over 6 minutes long. All of it is really funny. We've got some compilation of some. How long is that, Chris? Do we have time for it? I think we do. Let's listen to the compilation of all of these networks devoting 100 times more time to the Funny or Die fake interview than they did the actual Obamacare low enrollment.
President Obama's Two Ferns episode released this morning. How did the president do? Take a look.
If I ran a third time, it'd be sort of like doing a third Hangover movie. It didn't really work out very well.
It's over 6 minutes long. It was shot 2 weeks ago, and it is, all of it is really, really funny. Boy, the president,
sure, Carson.
He is amazing in this. So check
amazing?
That out this morning if you have time.
No question.
It's all about the delivery.
Yeah.
It's about the delivery, and the president shows
good.
He's got the comedy chops.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So, which he shows at the White House Correspondents' Dinner
absolutely.
Every year. He's got
absolutely.
That deadpan thing going on.
Zach, it was part of this concerted effort to promote the Affordable Care Act, because
yes.
they get into that, and
yes.
the president's allowed to explain.
You've got to check it out. It's the president also takes time to reach out to young viewers, though, encouraging them to take advantage of the Affordable Care Act.
Zach, a lot of fun doing it.
Zach's got a great career as an interviewer.
They're so good. Between Two Ferns, I highly recommend it. It's so good.
I can't wait.
Let's go.
It's YouTube.
YouTube.
Really, really funny. Check out the whole thing.
And the hope. Is that this will go viral, that it will be repeated and seen many, many times on YouTube, on the web. So it's just a new way of doing things.
Yeah. Well, at the very least, you can say he has a good sense of humor because he knows what you're getting when you go with Zach Galifianakis. So maybe the whole thing.
And he was prepared to exchange insults as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, they were in on the joke, you think.
It was interesting to hear some of the president's top advisors say they'd chosen to do this because they're trying to break through in different mediums and also trying to sign up younger people for healthcare. Coverage.
Yeah. All right. Mission accomplished, I think.
What suck-ups? I mean, is this what the media, the top media professionals, this is what they've sunk to? Becoming cheerleaders for the president's failed key domestic agenda of Obamacare? I mean, oh, you've got to go see it. It's so funny. Like it's Jerry Seinfeld on tour. Like they've just come back from The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, formerly. I mean, absolute suck-ups. Oh, it's so funny. You've got to go see it if you've got the time. It's just 6 months. Just please. I mean, why don't they just pay us to watch it? I mean, that's how bad it's gotten. Are you embarrassed that our president did this? And are you embarrassed by these media loons and their cheerleading of their the man that they're in the tank for? Give me a call. I'm Adam McManus here for Chris Kroc. 1-800-288-9227. 1-800-288-WBAP.
Oh.
The Chris Kroc program continues live on WBAP.
Adam McManus in for the vacation and Chris Kroc. He's away on spring break. Hope you're enjoying yours. We welcome your calls throughout at 1-800-288-9227. Love getting your emails. And if you want to check out my background and who this man is on my radio, you can visit my website, adammcmanus.net. That's spelled MCManus.net. We're talking about how the network spent 100 times more coverage on plugging the Obama joke interview on funnyordie.com than on the actual low enrollment. Their goal was 7 million by the end of March. They're at 4.2 million, far short of the goal. Only 940,000 signed up for Obamacare in February, so he did this six-minute interview with the star of Hangover, a mock interview, and ABC, CBS, NBC devoted a total of 16 and a half minutes to the fake interview, just fawning all over it, embarrassingly so. You've got to see it. It's so funny. Oh, my. I've never seen anything like it. He's got comedy chops. And only 10 seconds, thanks to CBS, 10 seconds on the actual low enrollment, which is the reason he did the Funny or Die video. All right, let's take some calls here. Do you think, number one, President Obama has exchanged the dignity of his office for an attempt to get the millennials to sign up? And number two, are you as disturbed by the media bias as I am when you hear it this black and white? 16 and a half minutes plugging the fake interview with their fake praise, as if they actually thought it was funny when it wasn't terribly funny at all, versus 10 seconds on the low Obamacare enrollment, which is the reason for the interview. All right, let's go to Steve up next from Shreveport, Louisiana. Good evening. You're on 820 WBAP with Adam McManus.
Hi, Adam. Thanks for taking my call. I saw the brief, the what little bit they showed on it, and in my opinion, and it if it was a plan, it just didn't come off that it, Obama is such a narcissist that it looked like it was almost irritating to him to have to be there. It was embarrassing.
Well, he was supposed to be playing the straight man, and the Hangover star was obviously Mr. Comic Boy. So that's how they wrote the script. But I think they should have hired some better scriptwriters.
Yeah, he definitely, it was not funny at all to me. And the sad thing about it is that the funny guy was actually pretty much telling it like it is to Obama. I wonder why Obama doesn't go and just let somebody like Mark Levin, for instance, ask him the same questions, see how funny he would think it was then, but I didn't get it. I didn't think it was funny, and it was just an insult to the office of the presidency.
Thank you for your call, Steve. Phone number here is 1-800-288-9227. We have to put all of this into perspective in light of the special election in Tampa, Florida, where Republican lobbyist David Jolly was victorious over Democrat Alex Sink. The Democrats are getting increasingly nervous in light of that particular race. It was really hers to lose. She spent three times as much money on television advertising. The indication of this is revealed in a Politico article I read in which they cite Representative Ron Barber, a Democrat who it represents the Tucson, Arizona congressional seat. He said he's uncomfortable with the Democratic Party's healthcare message and added that you, quote, can't, with a straight face, stand up and say this is a perfect bill, unquote. Well, if that's not the understatement of the year, no, you cannot say with a straight face it's a perfect bill. It's not only not perfect, it's not even a 9 on a scale of 1 to 10. It's not an 8. It's not a 7. It's a negative 1,014. That's what it is. Senator Kay Hagan, a Democrat from North Carolina, one of the Senate's most vulnerable incumbents, twice waved off a reporter's question. Did not want to even answer the question about Obamacare because they know it's a dead issue. I mean, they're going to be crucified for it by, and rightly so, by the voters. Senator Mark Udall, Democrat from Colorado, said he would prefer to answer a reporter's question about Obamacare by phone to offer a more coherent response. This is what you call sleazeball. You know this man has no character. You know this man was lying through his teeth. He just was trying to get off the hook of being in front of a television reporter, being asked a tough question about Obamacare. I'll get back to you by phone for a more coherent response. Surprise, surprise, his aides did not later make him available for that phone interview. Obamacare's approval ratings are not likely to rebound by the time voters go to the polls this November. The law's unpopularity could keep Democrats, the voters, home in November. And remember this, the Democrats just have a 5-member majority lead. It wouldn't take much to tip the scale back into red territory and for Republicans to really give Obama pushback in his last 2 years of his lame duck term. Republicans, I think, have rightly agreed that they have struck political gold, and Democrats are not quite sure what to do. One veteran Democrat fundraiser called the loss in the special election Tuesday night in Tampa, Florida, a double whammy, hurting the party with major donors and now energizing Republicans. I'm Adam McManus. Your thoughts? 1-800-288-9227. 800-288-9227 here on the Chris Crock Show on 820 WBAP.
The Chris Crock Program continues live on WBAP.
Final half hour of the Chris Crock Show here with Adam McManus. Learn more about me at my website. Send me an email, if you would, through that responding to any particular topic we've covered or perhaps something of your own that's of interest. AdamMcManus.net, MCManus.net. By the way, a special reminder, tomorrow on the show at 4 o'clock, we are going to talk with State Senator Dan Patrick, one of two remaining lieutenant gubernatorial candidates for the May 27th GOP primary runoff against David Dewhurst. Big story this week over the $25,000 donation Bucky's, the Texas roadside gas station and restaurant. They gave the big donation to Dan Patrick. Joaquin Castro's brother, tweeted that he was now going to boycott Bucky's because of it after Patrick put a picture of him and the Bucky's mascot, the Beaver, on his Facebook page this past Sunday. Huge outcry to this, and Castro has now kind of walked it back a little bit, saying, well, it's the owners, it's not technically Bucky's, but, you know, we know what he's all about. And he called Patrick, this is the worst of it, a fear-mongering immigrant basher, when in fact the only thing Dan Patrick has ever said is he opposes illegal immigration, and there's a big difference between the two. So Dan Patrick himself will be on this broadcast tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. Do not miss it. Well, I promised you a doozy of a Chris Matthews quote He is pretty much bracing for a disappointing November for Democrats, and he sees little that can be done to change that outcome in large measure because of Obamacare. Here it is.
Results. Yeah, I looked, Joe, at the Wall Street Journal dichotomy between Democrats and Republicans that came out yesterday, and I thought it was powerful. The Democrats are in a kind of a conciliatory soft mood. They want to negotiate. They want to make deals across the aisles. They want to fix Obamacare. On the Republican side, it's much harder. You know, they want to get rid of Obamacare, plain and simple, and they don't particularly want to negotiate so much. They are in a fast, hard and fast position. So you see passion on one side, a hard positioning on one side, the other side unsure of itself. So you know who's going to vote. The ones that are sure of themselves, they want to get back to Christian values and they want to get back to the elements of their beliefs, which is a kind of a base voting pattern. I think Chuck said this the other day, and it's kind of trying to referee this thing, and I thought it was pretty smart. If you're a Democrat and you want to hold on to something of what you have to change the question from how do you feel, which is lousy, and we're in the blues. The Republicans are very good at continuing that mood in the country. But you've got to change it to what side are you on? And you've got to change it to a very deafening, almost a loud appreciation of what the Republicans say. If they say they're going after entitlements, you tell the voters they're going after Social Security and Medicare. If they're getting tough on voter suppression, things like you say they're coming after you if you're a minority. If they put on their platform or say they're against abortion, you say they're coming after abortion rights. You've got to get out there and put a very strong, bold picture of what the Republicans would like to do and say that's what they're going to do. You've got to get very tough, and that way you can probably have a chance of not taking a big loss in the House. But even then, given the turnout you talk about being low this time, it's going to be very hard to hold the Senate. I think the Senate goes. I think we heard from the ghost of Christmas future this week, which is they're going to lose the Senate. So they better change the name of this game. And that means Steve Israel's got to do it. And Michael Bennett's got to do it in the Senate side. They got to change the game to what side are you on and expect the worst from the Republicans. You got to get really tough to win this.
I think we heard from the ghost of Christmas future this week, they're going to lose the Senate. It's an amazing admission from Chris Matthews. And did you hear about how he was giving his own campaign advice for the Democrats if they want to minimize the damage this fall? Go all in on the scare tactics, encouraging Democrats to up the ante on various issues, such as framing voter ID laws as a tax on minorities, and pro-life measures as attacks on abortion rights. This is an amazing admission. Chris Matthews, the former advisor to Tip O'Neill of Massachusetts, now, of course, well-known for his own liberal talk show over the years. It's exciting, isn't it? It's exciting to think that we could take back the Senate. I got an email, one of many from WBAP listeners, and this one I wanted to share. Mike Watt says this: "We the people have forgotten that we the people makes a sovereign, and when any living soul takes an oath and holds an office, that person removes his crown and becomes our servant, and that's why they're called public servants." I thought Mike Watt nailed it. And we've got a lot of Democrats who voted for Obamacare who should have it hung around their neck, figuratively speaking, and they should be whooped at the ballot box for having dared to vote for such stupidity, such an overreach, such socialism. All these people now losing their health care coverage, people's health care premiums spiking. I mean, and this is fixing some problem? I don't get it. Senator Mary Landrieu, Democrat from Louisiana, said that it's going to be tough, a tight race in November for her. And she attributes Alex Sinks' loss in Florida, the special election in Tampa this past Tuesday, to flood insurance legislation, which played a minor role. Sure. Yeah, that's why people voted for the Republican over flood insurance legislation. No, it was rejection over Obamacare, to be very clear about that. Well, I want to move on to a different topic, and that is what a Good Samaritan did chasing down the scum of the earth in Minneapolis, Minnesota, who punched an 8-year-old boy who was holding his iPad Here's how that news story went.
More and more, police tell us thieves are targeting cell phones and other mobile devices.
But a violent robbery involving an 8-year-old boy has some people shaking their heads and a Minneapolis man leaping to action. Surveillance video shows the crime. The boy was punched and the iPad grabbed outside a Minneapolis restaurant. 32-year-old Aaron Stilday was arrested and charged with first-degree aggravated robbery. And as Reg Chapman shows us, police caught him after a Good Samaritan chased him down.
Unless this stuff gets sauteed.
Mohammed Armeli is at home behind a stove, running the kitchen at Christos Greek restaurant in South Minneapolis.
Get the criminals off the ground, off the streets, and so we can be able to walk freely, you know.
Now he's talking about running down a robber.
Poor kid. I mean, I can't believe that his blood was all over his face. You should have seen his blood. He could have broke his nose.
Surveillance video shows the 8-year-old following his aunt out of the daycare building. What happened next left Mohammed's blood boiling.
This is a scum of the earth. You cannot hit a child like that. You just don't hit him for his iPad, for anything.
Mohammed heard the commotion and went after the robber, with 911 on his cell phone chasing him for more than a half a mile.
Then he went to 28th, and he went to Beth Stevens. And there where I caught him against the fence, and I held him up there until the police showed up.
Police identified the man as Aaron Stilday. They've seen him before.
As I was told, he was being arrested for 60 times. I can't believe they let him out.
And they've seen this kind of crime before. This is all that's left of the iPad. It was smashed on the sidewalk, but its original value is what made it a target in the first place.
These are valuable items that people want, and if you don't have to have them out, you know, maybe you can wait until you're in a secure environment to use them.
Well, we do have some good news to share about this. We talked to the boy's sister, and she says they took the shattered iPad to the Apple store in Uptown, along with video of the incident, and the Apple store gave them a new iPad.
You know, when you hear stories like this, you get both enraged and encouraged. Enraged that a punk like Aaron Stilday, this 32-year-old who had been arrested 60 times previously, who frankly should be in jail and shouldn't even been out in the streets, if you ask me. I don't know what those other 60 arrests were for, but he obviously has no sense of appropriate conduct, to put it mildly. You're enraged by him, and I saw the video. I saw this report, and he socked this 9-year-old, this 8-year-old kid hard. I mean, the kid hit the ground hard on cement, just 10 feet behind his aunt coming out of the daycare with an iPad kind of hanging out of his bag. And then he grabs the iPad, then the iPad drops. I think that's probably when it got shattered. But you're also encouraged by this wonderful Good Samaritan from the Greek restaurant, Mohammed, who literally, you can see him on video, running after him and holding him up against the fence as he's calling 911. What a striking contrast. You know, I think about when I saw this story, I thought about one of the last episodes of Seinfeld. I know this is it's an odd reference on the one hand, but those of you who are Seinfeld fans like I am, you remember the episode of the heavyset guy who was basically carjacked, pulled out of the car, and the carjacker sped off in the car. The whole thing was being videotaped by one of the Seinfeld characters, and all four of them just watched, saying, oh, that's too bad, that's too bad. They didn't do anything to intervene, and they were ultimately thrown in prison because of the Good Samaritan law. If you see someone who needs help and you do nothing, you can be held criminally for it. Thank God Muhammad didn't have the Seinfeld approach. I'm Adam McManus. Your thoughts at 1-800-288-9227 here on The Chris Croc Show on 820 WBAP.
The Chris Croc Program continues live on WBAP.
And it continues thanks to the great work behind the scenes of technical producer Floyd Irving and Chris, my producer. I'm Adam McManus. Learn more about me and send me an email through my website, adammcmanus.net, M-C-M-A-N-U-S.net. I'll be here for one final day tomorrow from 4 to 5. Don't forget my interview with Lieutenant Gubernatorial Candidate Dan Patrick tomorrow at 4 o'clock. I want to get to the co-hosts of The View. None of them are Republican, conservative anymore. Remember, they used to have... What was the name of the woman that went over to Fox News, the blonde? Do you remember, Chris? Does that, who was it? You don't watch The View. Well, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, that's what it is. She went over to the Fox and Friends. But now that they have no conservative on the panel, now they're bringing in Republican strategists who are hardly Republican. Nicole Wallace, a former John McCain advisor, was on the show, and this is how that went down.
If Hillary Clinton is the Democratic nominee, which it looks like she mm-hmm. will be, the best person that we can put up there is someone who has been beaten up, someone who has been tested. Because Hillary Clinton,
Bill?
Well, we wish. He's good friends. He advises Republicans who shall go unnamed. But Chris Christie now has been tested by this bridge scandal. Mm-hmm. Jeb Bush knows what it's like mm-hmm. to be president, to run for president. So I think we'd be wise to take a long look at our guys that have been beaten up.
Do you think bills passed will hurt her at all?
No. That's baked in the cake. I mean, and to know Bill is to love Bill, whether you are a Democrat or Republican. So I don't think it's going to affect anyone. Like,
Bill Clinton is who we're talking about, right? I mean, just correct me if I'm wrong. The same guy that raped a woman and had multiple affairs on his wife. To know Bill is to love Bill. Only a former top aide to John McCain would gush over the Clintons, like Republican strategist Nicole Wallace did. Now, there for a week, this past February, the hosts of The View brought in actual conservatives like Mary Catherine Hamm, who's a regular contributor on The O'Reilly Factor. But now they're back to the non-threatening type Republicans. And by the way, Chris Christie, Jeb Bush, these people poll terribly on any measure. You look at the CPAC straw poll, you look at the Drudge Report straw poll with 224,000 people like yours truly voting in. The top two vote getters, Rand Paul and Ted Cruz. There is no way that New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, the transportation bridge scandal aside, or Jeb Bush are ever going to be nominees to this party. They might be candidates, no way they'll be a nominee. All right, some Duck Dynasty news. USA Today's story yesterday, Duck Dynasty goal, get the message of God out. Now, the 16-year-old daughter of Willie and Corey Robertson, whose name is Sadie, and for those of you who are avid Duck Dynasty fans, you already know that, they all have dimples in that family, don't they, including Willie, but you just can't see them because of his beard. We could have easily done a reality show, said the 16-year-old, like everyone else. But it's our Christian faith that catches people's eyes because, sadly, it's not something we're used to seeing on TV these days. We did certainly see it on the Waltons. Remember, they would always close every episode with prayer, as do the Robertsons. They were, at one point, prior to the GQ homosexual controversy and the threat of pushing Phil Robertson out of the show, they were being pressured by the television network to take out the family prayer at the end. They said, no, you take out the family prayer, we walk. Patriarch Phil Robertson said his controversial pro-marriage remarks last year to GQ magazine were based on his Christian faith. The family's always been outspoken about faith, and Sadie, certainly following in his footsteps, said, faith is obviously my number one priority, and I think you need to put God at the top of everything you do. She added, and this was interesting, I get a tweet at least once a day that says, I hope Sadie Robertson does not turn out like Miley Cyrus. When you're famous, you do get so much attention, said the 16-year-old from the Duck Dynasty Robertson family, that I can see how you could just think the world of yourself. I think if you go into it thinking that this is not for me, that this is for God, you'll be okay. Robertson recalled, we had a family dinner. I loved this part of the USA Today story. We had a family dinner before the show started, and we talked about if at any time in this journey that God was not first, then we would have to put the show away. If we start to think of ourselves too highly, we remember that we were happy before the show, and we'll be happy after the show. And they even came up with a secret phrase to call out any family member who might start to let the fame get to them. At the dinner, my uncle Cy said, this is the 16-year-old, remember the Alamo. That's the phrase that will be uttered to remind the person to stay grounded. How well put is that? How refreshing is it to see just a normal family that have conservative, traditional, and yes, even Christian values that are not being attacked, that are just out there for the world to see? It's a great statement indeed. I'm Adam McManus. Check out my website and send me an email, adammcmanus.net. That's MCManus.net, here on The Chris Crock Show on 820 WBAP. Dan Patrick, tomorrow at 4. I'll see you then.